Behind the scenes on View from the Top Rope.
Spectacular! And then you go, wow, wow.
It's all because of who else is.
Hey, man. Sometimes that's all that matters. You got a plan going? And that's. Doesn't matter why you have the plan.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Smoke came out my nose.
Smoke came out my ears, dog.
Why would you think that? You lost that years ago.
I lost that. That one. It's on my dryer right now. That's how I figured out that this wasn't that one.
I haven't seen you wearing ears. Oh. I thought you lost it. You lost it at one point. Dog's dead.
Not dead.
Why'd you wake me up?
Sick, bro.
And then I went on looking at this pattern on the corner, his tail's all puffed out. Yeah. Like,
dude, it's cool, it's me.
You're not a guard cat, are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to part two of View from the Top Ropes, episode 50, Spectacular! Yeah, I'm actually kind of digging the sound effects now. But it's still just me and Diesel churning along here in Zeus's dojo. So we're just going to roll right ahead into the second part of my second favorite segment every single week. So Diesel, hit the music.
You guys are lucky because twice in one week you get a live questions. So I'm going to start out. Questions. We answer all your questions. Questions by High Flyers. We answer all your questions. Questions by High Flyers.
And whoa, you heard the song, so you know what that means. We're going to roll right back into answer your guys' first questions, or probably close to your first questions.
I think I stuck the landing on that one.
You did, and then I hiccuped and I screwed it up.
Yeah,
so,
at least I stuck the landing.
Yep. All right, so the first question we're going to go to, we're going back to episode 28 and the debut of The Wrestling Hub. And their first question was, what did you think of Bubba Ray Dudley saying that Y2J versus Omega is better than any Mania match that WWE could put out? And now Mania's happened, so we can, you know, go back and look. That was true.
What do I think?
Yeah.
That is hard because Mania has been around for a long time. I don't even remember answering this question, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But, it was a long time ago, episode 28. That's 22 episodes ago.
So Mania has been around for a long time, so, and it's transcended to, like, different eras of wrestling as well. So, like, sometimes it's hard to compare an 80s match to a match today. But, I mean, we talked about it last part. And, we talked about it when we were talking about our Dominion picks or our review. And I said that I preferred the Jericho match over –
Jericho Omega match.
Yeah, over the Naito Jericho match. So, I mean, I get where he's coming from. It was a great match, but I don't know if it was greater than every single match it's ever been in WrestleMania. I can't – I don't know. I'd have to sit down and watch every match. I can't honestly say that it is, but I mean, he makes a good point.
I think he does make a good point. And honestly, I mean, if you go far back, I'm sure there were bigger moments in WrestleMania. But the actual match itself, I think, is better than probably anything that's happened at WrestleMania. Maybe not on the, you know, stage or the grandness of it, if you will. But the actual just match quality and just storytelling in the match, yeah, I think Bubba Ray Dudley is completely correct on that.
I mean, to support Bubba Ray Dudley, I can't really, like, give a match that I, off the top of my head, that is better that was on WrestleMania than that match. So, I mean, that's why I can't say yes and I can't say no.
Yeah. I mean, the only one that popped into my head right away to say that if it was going with an older
TLC?
TLC match. Or, I mean, you could do the first or second Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. Those are both great matches. Yeah. Had a lot on the line in both of those. But as I said, like, the actual in-ring quality of it and just the battle they had was spectacular. I mean, it was one of my favorite matches at Wrestle Kingdom, that's for sure. So we have to thank The Wrestle Hub, who is at The Wrestle Hub, for their first question. But it's time to move on to our next High Flyer, who also made their debut on episode 28.
bam, 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 bam. Brian H. Waters. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah. All right, I like that one a lot, actually. That's my new favorite of what you've done so far. So as Diesel gave it away with the theme music, it's, of course, Brian H. Waters making his debut on the Mystery Brain Buster of the Week. His first question he ever asked us, which I think is kind of fun because Dominion just happened, is, who will dethrone Okada? And we both know the answer to be Kenny Omega now.
And I'm pretty sure that's what we answered as well.
I'm pretty positive we both did answer that. I might have said Naito just to say something else, but I'm a huge Kenny Omega mark, so I'm pretty sure I did say Kenny Omega.
No, I picked Okada to win. I do think that Omega was the guy who should have done it.
Yeah.
So, and I know that if Okada would have won, Kenny Omega probably wouldn't have been the guy to do it, but that's why I have mixed feelings about it. Man, no, I'm really glad that he won because he definitely should be champion.
Oh, yeah.
I thought last year in Dominion he should have won. But also, I've fallen in love with Okada over this last year with being champion, and I love him as a heel. And so that was tugging at my heartstrings with Okada. Kenny Omega was definitely the guy that should have done it. I'm glad that he did do it.
I am 100% behind you on that. Even with the Okada stuff, Okada is definitely – Kenny Omega and Okada might be 1A, 1B of best wrestlers on the planet right now. I mean, what they can do in the ring together and with basically anyone else in the world is just otherworldly, if you will, because they are just head and shoulders, amazing, born to do this professional wrestlers. And Okada, I always say this, I think the most impressive thing about Okada is he has one of the simplest move sets ever, yet somehow makes every one of those moves look so devastating and amazing that it doesn't even matter. I mean, he uses a flapjack, a DDT, an elbow drop, and a clothesline. Basically, that's Okada's offense. Oh, and now he uses the Cobra Clutch. That's it. That's four or five moves. What else you got for me? I mean, and he makes all of them look so crisp, so awesome, so perfect. So, yeah. Kenny Omega should have been the one, and he was the one. So we have to thank Brian H. Waters, who, of course, you can check out his wonderful podcast. Where's that at, Diesel?
It's at Wrestling Realm.
It is. It's Break It Down with Brian H. It's a great listen. And if you listen real close, you might hear a promo from one of us at View from the Top Rope in there.
Or all three.
Or all three. You just don't know. But we'll just move right along to our next debut, which we had to go to episode 30. And this was from at Jeff Modzelowski. And the question is, have you seen my car keys?
Oh, man. I remember how I answered this one, too.
Yeah, that's why I brought it back up, because we actually had a lot of fun with this question. I don't think Jeff's ever asked another question, so I hope you're still listening, Jeff. If you are, here's your shout-out for asking your first question on episode 30.
And your car keys are still at my place, because now your mom has moved in with me, so... That's where your car keys are at.
Yeah, that's where it's at. I do remember Diesel saying that he had intimate relations with your mother, and that's how he knew where your car keys were.
No, I didn't want to start a relationship with her, but you know, it just happens. Sometimes it just happens.
Things happen. You can't control fate or what the heart wants. You know?
I'm your new daddy, Jeff.
My answer is still the same answer. They're on your nightstand to the left of your bed. It's where they are. So we have to thank Jeff, who is at Jeff Modzelowski, for that wonderful question on episode 30. But we did have another debut on episode 30. And this was Uncle Steve, who is at Uncle_Steve_I. And this question is, who is the most powerful wrestler? And this question, I do remember, was spawned. This is during the time that Braun Strowman was flipping production trucks and, you know, destroying things on a weekly basis. So that's why this question came up. Do you remember what you answered, Diesel?
I guess it's Cesaro.
I do believe he did.
I think I said Cesaro pound for pound.
Pound for pound.
Strongest. I think this is the same conversation I had. Like, and I started saying he's the strongest, and then that's not really most powerful.
Yeah, no, it's not.
But most powerful? Well, I'm going to answer now Braun Strowman because of his battering ram that he does outside the ring.
Yeah.
Like, when he did it to Drew McIntyre like a month ago on Raw – That was impressive. Broke the
Royal Rumble trophy. He snapped that greatest Royal Rumble trophy. That was bad. It was hilarious.
He went flying. He hit him as hard as he could.
I don't think Drew McIntyre was prepared for the freight train that was Braun Strowman. Murdered
JoJo.
Yeah, they were not. I think Drew McIntyre was honestly caught by surprise by that. I think I said Braun Strowman back then when I answered. But I will take Braun Strowman still. But if we're just going by powerful as well, I'm going to take Mark Henry. Because Mark Henry is a scary, scary dude. And he can crush an apple with his hand still. And that scares me. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't want to shake his hand because he just crushed my hand easily.
Braun Strowman did it too, but Mark Henry did it better.
Yeah, he did. I think Braun had to gimmick the apple a little bit. I don't think Mark Henry did anything. I think
and it turned into apple juice.
Yeah, it exploded. You can watch that on Ride Along. Free plug for the WWE Network.
It's a good one. He's with Chris Jericho.
And you gotta love the GOAT, Chris Jericho. So we have to thank Uncle Steve I for that wonderful question. And we hope you're still listening. But we're going to move on to our next High Flyer debut. And this was on episode 31. And this was the PW Haven's debut, Pro Wrestling Haven, if you will. Their question was, within WWE, amidst all the hype, can Styles and Nakamura live up to this hype at WrestleMania?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, at the time, we all said yes.
Yes, we did.
And it did not. It still hasn't. And we're in June. Like, oh, man, this makes me depressed.
It's actually a really saddening question. It goes – and it's not – I can't actually put this one on Nakamura because this – I remember saying this. I went on a tirade about Nakamura because this is still when he was in his face, boring gimmick, whatever, he'd won the Royal Rumble. But he had been phoning it in every single week still at that point. And now new heel Nakamura, he's still half phoning it in, but it looks cooler. And, I mean, he's Nut Knocker now. So he's got a lot more fun things going on. So I can't blame Shinsuke. I can't even blame AJ. I mean, this is just all on the writers on this one. This is them ruining what could have been a great feud by turning. I mean, Shinsuke turning into a heel has been great, but I don't know what they did. They've ruined it for me.
They should have just let him go. They've never let him actually just go and have a match. Like, which has to have a false finish or a double, like, countdown or, you know, like.
So in that vein of conversation, sidebar, do you think they're going to let them fully go this Sunday then at Money in the Bank in this last man standing match?
I do, and I think it's because of Dominion.
Yeah, I think that WWE is going to try, especially with them themselves having Johnny Gargano versus Ciampa the night before in a street fight. I think WWE is going to go, guys, if you get outdone by NXT, you should probably get your lives together. But
this is also has the potential, this weekend has the potential to be the best weekend of WWE so far this entire year, and maybe even the entire year.
Yeah, no, Money in the Bank is definitely one of my favorite pay-per-views of the calendar every single year. I love the concept. And in general, they have good matches at Money in the Bank, like besides the Money in the Bank match as well.
They're in Chicago, and Chicago is always on fire.
Yeah, Chicago is a smarky, smarky town, and they will be red hot on Sunday and Saturday.
You know that you're going to get CM Punk chance, but at least this time they're going to be relevant.
Yeah, at least they're in the right town, and he did just win his court case, even though he lost his UFC fight.
But it's still going to be relevant. It's not like when last year when CM Punk wasn't doing anything. And I mean, I always say if they're in Chicago, fine. Like, he's in Chicago. I understand the love for your hometown guy, so I get it. But like everywhere else, it's like, shut up.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You know how I feel about fan chants. I've been railing on them for 50 episodes because I hate them. I really, really hate them.
Except for the ones you started at ICW and BCW.
Obviously, but that's a little smaller event, and I'm chanting what the wrestlers want me to chant, okay? I'm not being...
Not all the time.
That's true. I'm sometimes yelling at Jerry. So, I mean, I'm, you know, whatever. I go against what I say. Do as I say, not as I do, okay? That's what it is.
Monkey see, monkey do?
No, that's not it. Because then you're going to do what I'm doing. Don't do what I do. Okay, only I can chant.
I gotcha.
So we have to thank at PW Haven for their wonderful first question on episode 31. But it's time to move on to our next High Flyer who also made their debut on episode 31. And this is at A Pro Wrestling Fan. Used to be Kakarot 420. I honestly don't know what your normal just Twitter name is right now. But I know what your Twitter at is. So gave you that shout out. The first question you ever asked on episode 31 was, what do you think Randy Orton will end up doing at Mania in 2018? And you know what's funny? I don't remember what he did.
I don't either. He was in Triple Threat for the U.S. title.
Was that there?
Yeah, with Bobby Roode and Jinder Mahal, and Jinder Mahal won.
Oh, yeah, that is what he did. Yeah, I got that match right.
And he did get that match right. I think I picked Randy to retain. I don't remember.
Yeah.
That match wasn't any good.
I was about to say, I honestly, when I just read that question, I was like, did he even wrestle on WrestleMania?
Match wasn't any good. Nope. He walked in as U.S. champ.
Yeah.
And he just won the Grand Slam for the first, or he can only win it once, but he just won it.
Yeah.
And how many people have won the Grand Slam in 2018?
It's the year. And
at least three.
Yeah. And in 2017, combined, I think we're up to six in the past.
2 years. That's what I think too, yeah.
Yeah, it's been the years of the Grand Slam. Where it's you get a Grand Slam run, and you get a Grand Slam run. Everybody gets a Grand Slam run.
Might as well give it to Sheamus now. And KO. They're only one away, so.
Yeah. Who else? Kevin Owens.
That's what I said, KO.
I guess I just glazed that over in my brain and wasn't listening to you.
Give Sami Zayn a belt. Just one.
Just any belt. Just give Sami Zayn a belt, please. What will Randy Orton do at WrestleMania? He'll be really boring. That's what he did. I think I said that he should just be off WrestleMania.
Oh, I agree. And now he's off completely because he had,
knee surgery.
Knee surgery, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm going to give Randy the doubt, benefit of the doubt. He said he's been injured for a while, the past 6 months or so. So maybe that's why he was that boring. He's always been kind of boring, but these past 6 months have been real bad.
Well, he also hasn't cared, so that's part of it too. So.
Yeah. But we have to thank @APROWrestlingFan, and that's wrestling without the G, if you'd like to give them a follow, for their wonderful first question. Time on to our next high flyer, though, and also made their debut on episode 31. Episode 31 was a big episode for debuts.
And you know what's weird? You're saying all these names like they debuted on episode 31, and I'm like, no way. There's no way that they debuted less than 20 episodes ago. It seems like time's moving faster than it is sometimes, but sometimes it seems like it's moving too fast. Why can't time just be
time?
Yeah, exactly.
Why can't time just be on time?
The same. This is really tripping me out. All this, it's really tripping me out.
I really am enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it too, but thinking back, it seems like we've been doing this show for longer too. We've only been doing it. We haven't even been doing it for a year yet.
Not yet. No, we haven't.
Close.
We're close to a year, but
this is basically our year celebration along with our 50th anniversary. Because we're not going to do a special year anniversary. We'll make note of it, but
we'll make note of it. And the year anniversary will probably be Punishment Saturday Part 2. To be honest, that was my plan.
Possibly.
Possibly. Don't put it on the books or anything.
We have to work out the logistics and
exactly. There's planning that goes into it.
We haven't really talked about it enough.
No.
We gotta lay out all the punishments so we remember. And
yeah. We got about a month before we hit episode or our year anniversary. So we got about a month of planning to go into it. All right. But as I said, this was another debut. And this was the CG Pro Wrestling Podcast. You know who they are, right? CNG Pro Wrestling Pod.
I don't think I do know who they are.
Well,
I've never listened to them, at least. So I might have seen them on Twitter, but.
Yeah. No, they're a solid little podcast. I think they're still going. I'm not 100% sure, actually. But the question they asked first on episode 31 was, when will we see AOP and the iconic duo debut on the main roster? And this is a double-edged question for me because the Iconics are awesome on SmackDown and have been doing solid stuff since they debuted. Nothing big or anything like that.
Outside of the ring,
yeah.
They have been. But they're in ring work. They're not letting them go either.
No, they're really.
I'm not the biggest Iconics fan, but. They're decent in the ring at NXT. They haven't really had a chance to do anything.
I think Billy Kay has wrestled one match.
Yeah, Billy Kay has wrestled one match, and Peyton Royce has wrestled four.
Yeah, that's it. And they've been on the main roster for what?
Technically, if you count SmackDown this week, they're 10-woman tag, so 5-2.
5-2. We'll give you those because you don't have anything else to wrestle on. But then you have AOP on the other side, who debuted and now have yet to be seen again.
They debuted just to have an angle where they would kick out Paul Ellering as their manager. It makes no sense. I don't understand. Why even have him debut? Leave him on NXT if you're not going to use him on Raw. They should be used on Raw. They're a very good tag team.
They really are a great tag team who has improved leaps and bounds. They were so green and stiff in the ring when they first started in NXT, and I hated them. I was like, this is boring. There's so much better talent on NXT. And they grew by leaps and bounds every single match by the time. And now I want to see AOP go on a huge run on the main roster, but they're nowhere to be seen.
I want to compare them to the Ascension, but when the Ascension got called up, they actually got pushed for a little bit, and they beat the New Age Outlaws, and then they got jobbed out.
I'm 100% 100% behind you about the Ascension being booked better than AOP on their initial run, because AOP was on Raw one time and haven't been seen since.
Yeah, they made it. I think, I don't know, I don't watch Main Event, but I heard that they've been on there a couple of times too, but that's almost a slap in the face.
Yeah, who cares if they're on Main Event? They were the NXT, the longest reigning NXT tag champions of all time, and you're putting them on Main Event? Jog on.
Oh, they're still second.
Dead the Ascension, you're right. Hey, the two crappiest teams on the main roster, or the two best NXT teams, and they've been destroyed by the main roster. Good on ya, WWE. Good on ya. All right, well, we have to thank at CG Pro Wrestle Pod for their first question that was debuting in episode 31. Hope you're still listening to the podcast, and you're a wonderful high flyer. But let's move on to our next high flyer.
Tully Parton. Yes, some of the greatest questions in history. From some town in bloody England. I bet you he's about to ask something nerdy.
I like this. Every single time you sing a new one, it becomes my favorite. And that's now my favorite. So as the song gave away, it is, of course, time for Tully Parton's question. And I have to tell everyone, so after this, I don't actually know when anyone asked their first question, because this is the part of questions where I just lost it for, you know, probably like a few months where I don't know, they weren't saved. So I just grabbed random questions from you guys that were as early as I could find. So just be prepared for that. So the question I have from Tully Parton, who is at Paul5Tully, is which video game character would work great as a pro wrestling gimmick? And in turn, which wrestler would make a great video game character?
I know I said Roman Reigns for the wrestler because he always reminded me of someone that would have been like Mortal Kombat or something like that. So I don't remember who I said for video game, not big video gamer. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Roman Reigns too.
I like your cheating style. Roman Reigns. I mean, that's what Vince would answer. Roman Reigns for everything. My answers, I do believe I said Becky Lynch in a platformer. And for a wrestler to come over or be a gimmick or video game character would have been Dante from Devil May Cry. But I got some other things I can say, so I'll switch it up for you. So for a video game character that I would bring over, I would bring over Kratos from God of War. And he would basically just be Braun Strowman. Yeah, Braun Strowman is basically already Kratos. I mean, that's what it is, except much bigger Braun Strowman is.
I think we had a similar question like a few weeks ago, and it might have been about tag teams, and I'm pretty sure I picked Mario and Luigi.
Oh, you did pick Mario and Luigi.
So I'm going to switch my Roman Reigns answer, and I'm going to go with Mario and Luigi.
Yeah, Mario and Luigi would make a great tag team in the WWE. And for a current pro wrestling gimmick that would make a great video game, I'm going to go a little back, actually, and I'm going to take Kenny Omega's The Cleaner gimmick, and I'm going to turn that into a video game, because The Cleaner is actually a mob hitman. He's not out there sweeping things or anything like that. So Kenny Omega, in his Terminator-style gimmick, would have been a hitman. That'd be a lot of fun. All right, so it's time to move on from Tully Parton, and we have to thank him for that question. Of course, you want to give Paul5Tully, that's his Twitter at, a good follow. Great follow on Twitter, and some of the best questions we have each and every week. Time on to our next high flyer, though.
Okay, before I do this song, I'm going to need a little explanation. This person, I won't give it away until I do the song, but this person changed their name since the song, but this is the nickname that they took that I gave them, so here we go. M-A-G-N-U-S-T-N Steel. M-A-G-N-U-T-S and Steel. He thinks I'm a heel. Yes, that's for real. You may hate him, but then you are wrong. He is very strong. Just listen to the words of the song. Capiche?
Right, you're right. They do. They keep building and to be built to better. Of course, this is when it's Magnuts and Steel, who is at Dej Kirkby. And yes, changing that to the Carmella theme, I'm impressed.
I knew you were going to like that one.
I am impressed with that for sure. All right. So the question that I grabbed from Magnuts and Steel was, since I was Overachiever of the Week last week, I'm gunning for Underachiever of the Week this week with my question. What is your favorite wrestling catchphrase?
I remember answering with one of JR's favorite that he says all the time. And scratch that itch, The Rock will make you famous.
And I don't know why you guys love that line so much. I mean,
he only said it like twice.
I know, and you guys love it.
I mean, there's a lot of good ones. I mean, I like one that I've been saying a lot lately from the Corporal Robinson and ICW Milwaukee.
Ooh, I'll plug the ICW Milwaukee.
No, I'll even say it for you. It's, you fear what you don't understand, and you hate what you can't conquer, bitch.
It's really awesome. And he delivers that little line with such gusto that it's really awesome. It's a little scary.
It's the only one that people can actually sing along to at ICW.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Everyone knows it, and I love it.
I do as well. For favorite wrestling catchphrases, I mean, basically I could just do anything from Jericho. I could literally ever again. I mean, the guy is king of the catchphrases. You got The Rock, Stone Cold, any of those.
What?
What? I mean, I was talking about Stone Cold.
What?
I said The Rock.
Oh, I'm not playing this game anymore.
I would have kept going for a while.
I know, but it was going to get annoying real fast.
It was, and that's why the what chant is annoying, but it was fun for like 2 minutes.
It works. Even when Stone Cold comes back, it still works because he knows how to play off of it.
Yeah.
And, but the best person, best two people in the WWE to shut it down, Stephanie McMahon, she always does it, and Alexa Bliss. She always like she always has some like witty thing. Always say what if you're this, and then people say what, and they stop like halfway through. Oh, never mind, we're done.
Yeah, and she just laughs. Alexa Bliss is great on the mic. Wow, that's totally off the subject. Does Alexa Bliss have a catchphrase? Not really, Twisted. I mean, Little Miss Bliss, but that's more of a nickname.
She has the little hand thing where she closes the fist, but
like our friend Clanger.
Yeah, there you go.
But, yeah, so for favorite wrestling catchphrase, I am going to go with ever again, because it's just fun to say.
I like the Ayatollah of rock and roller.
Raw is Jericho.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you're right. Jericho
stupid
has a
idiot.
Bunch. Yeah. Monday Night Jericho when he was on Nitro.
Stupid idiot.
Yeah, stupid idiot. He didn't even realize he's been doing that for years. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, when he started doing it again. This was on his podcast. I think he was talking to Adam Cole. And there's the whole Bay Bay connection. And he said he knew that Jericho did it, but he didn't care. He didn't steal it from him. But and so then he was telling a story about how he was saying stupid idiot. And he's like, wow, I love this new catchphrase. And like, I forget who told him, but like, dude, you've been saying that since the year 2000. Like,
year 2000.
He's like, really? He's like, yeah, go back. Been calling everyone stupid idiots like his whole career. I miss when he called people ass clowns.
Yeah, that was a good one. Jericho's king of the catchphrase.
We can go on a tangent about Jericho.
Like, I could just talk about Jericho for another
hour.
The
last few weeks we've been talking about him a lot, too.
Well, that's because he has been the king of pro wrestling lately. He's running a cruise. He is dominating in New Japan. And, I mean, old angry dad bod Jericho in New Japan is scary awesome.
I agree. I love Jericho.
Love me some Jericho. All right. Well, we have to thank Magnuts and Steel, who is, of course, at Dej Kirkby, for that wonderful question. Time on to our next High Flyer question, though. And this one is from Matt Attack Willis, who is at The Matt Attack UK. And free plug, make sure you check out the Matt Attack podcast predictions for Money in the Bank, featuring Diesel and myself and Jimmy on the Visionaries Wrestling Network.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. All right, but the question I pulled for Matt is, I wanted to know what you guys thought about no women being on the Greatest Royal Rumble card. Should Vince have not gone there because of this?
No, I remember I answered that it was a business decision, and I mean, there was a lot of money involved.
A lot of money.
So there was no way that Vince was not going to go over it. It didn't matter. But also, at the same time, it also brings up that because they have all these. Their culture is different than ours. So, like, women are just finally starting to get rights, and it's slowly progressing, and the WWE can help progress it. And like I said before, let me talk about this. They didn't have women on the show this time, but who knows? Maybe 2-3 years, and they go back, women will be on the show then. And it could have been because the WWE, they're involved in it.
Yeah. No, and they had a big, during the Greatest Royal Rumble, if you remember, they had a big little part about the revolution of Saudi Arabia, was showing women for the first time ever being able to allow to drive and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think they should have gone there, yeah, because, I mean, you can't change a country, it's, you know, overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day, if you will, and you can't change them overnight, so you got to just baby steps. Get over there, and, you know, these people know who the women's superstars are of the WWE. So, yeah, as Diesel said, maybe next time or two times down the line when they go back, the women will be on the card, because that's how things work. You have to progress them. You can't just go from 0 to 100. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to say it. So, yeah, and also, let's look back at that. I know we've talked about it before, but now really looking back at the Greatest Royal Rumble, sidebar, what'd you think of it? Was it a fun show? I mean, it was basically a glorified house show.
Oh, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah, the matches, the outcomes of the matches weren't ideal, really, but, I mean, it'd been nice to have a title change. I know that the leaders of Worlds, they won the tag titles, but it was vacant.
Yeah, it wasn't a title change. It was a title acquisition.
So, I mean, it would have been nice to make it feel more than a house show. Yeah. But the Greatest Royal Rumble was real fun.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we talked about it in part one with Titus O'Neil and his trip and slide under the ring. I mean,
oh, man.
That was worth $9.99 in itself.
That is one of the greatest gifts ever. And watching that live and just watching Michael Cole and Corey Graves lose it when they couldn't figure out what happened. And then when they did figure out what happened, was even better than the poof moment from way back when on 205 Live.
And, man, I still laugh about it to this day. Like, some things, like, they're funny in the moment, but you look back on it and you just maybe, like, smirk, shake your head. But I think about this, I'll bust out laughing. It was that funny.
It was that funny. And just having him play it so many times over and over. And also seeing Daniel Bryan, I think you're the one who told me about this, was on Kenny McIntosh's. And so Daniel Bryan did an interview with Kenny McIntosh on Beyond the Ropes. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Nice. Man, I'm nailing things today.
Inside the Ropes.
God darn it. All right, so Inside the Ropes with Kenny McIntosh. And Daniel Bryan said that he was out there when this happened, and he did not see Titus fall under the ring at all. And all he knows is that suddenly Titus got in the ring, and he says that Titus clocked him with just
right in the head too.
With a wicked right hand. And Daniel Bryan was furious. He's like, what the heck, man? I've been out here for, you know, 45 minutes already. You're coming out, you're just whacking me in the head. And he turns around and is about ready to just kill Titus for it. Then he looks up on the Titantron and he sees him just playing the trip over and over again. And Daniel Bryan's like, okay, you can have that one.
It's hilarious. I mean, to answer your question about the Greatest Royal Rumble, it was a fun show. I mean, it was one of the better shows WWE's put on all year.
Yeah, that's also another sad fact I was going to bring up. For the specials, and by specials I mean pay-per-views and such, of this year, the Greatest Royal Rumble is definitely in the top two, at least, for best shows they put on in 2018.
What's number?
I don't know. I just don't want to say it's number one because it's a house show.
Well, no, I mean, Royal Rumble was better.
Yeah.
Elimination Chamber was not. I don't think it was. I don't remember Elimination Chamber. That's why.
Yep.
Like, I remember the matches from the Greatest Royal Rumble. I remember that Cruiserweight match to open. There, that was the opener, but the second match. That was a really, really good match between Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali. Like, there were, like, even though it was a house show, like, and I know a lot of times on house shows they do go balls to the wall, like, but in previous, like, WWE special, like, house show things, they didn't really go balls to the wall.
Like Beast of the East and everything like that. That was one of the most boring shows.
Or Roadblock, the original. But this one, they just let them go all out, and it was a fun show. And so, I'd say it's probably the second best behind the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Not counting NXT TakeOvers.
Clearly, because those are NXT, not WWE.
Because those would all be better than...
Yeah, those are all literally better than anything WWE, the main show, has put on all year. We also forgot to talk about... This had Seth Rollins when he retained his IC title by springboarding onto the ladder and surprising Finn Balor.
I just watched him.
And that's what I would have done too. Yeah, I would have been shocked because he went from he wasn't there, and then suddenly he was on the top of the ladder. And I've never seen someone pull the ladder or the belt.
Definition
out.
Of a WTF moment.
Yeah, he literally, and then he grabbed that belt so fast that he whacked Finn in the eye, and he was bleeding.
Yeah, it did happen. Yeah, that was a good match too.
Yep.
I was rooting for The Miz, but I knew he wasn't going to win because he was on SmackDown now. But
yeah, it didn't matter. I still wanted The Miz to win or Finn Balor. But Seth has been the MVP since.
But I'm very happy with Seth, too. So I still would have liked to see a title change. But that's my only gripe, really, about it.
Yeah. And as you said, the actual Rumble itself, the Greatest Royal Rumble, was a lot of fun. 50 men. And they did a lot of cool things in the match. So looking back, good job, WWE. Good job. All right, that was the sidebar on the question. So we have to thank Matt Attack Willis, who is at the Matt Attack UK, for that great question. And once again, make sure you're checking out the podcast on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. And you can hear Diesel and I make some predictions with them. Time on to our next high flyer, though. And this is...
Super kicking it with Kelsey, super kicking it with Kelsey, super kicking it with Kelsey. Women taking over wrestling. Girl power.
Yes. All right. Playing off Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You've done it again, Diesel. New favorite right there. Of course, he gave it away once again who this question is from. It is from Super Kicking It with Kelsey. And she is, of course, at Super Kicking It. The question I pulled for Kelsey is, inspired by you guys beating Colt Cabana, if you could only meet one more wrestler ever, who would you choose to meet and why? And also, if you'd only ask them one question, what would it be?
I'm going to answer the exact same way as I did before. I remember, and I'm wearing a shirt.
Ah.
Yeah, I changed shirts in between parts, just to let you know.
Just weirdly enough.
Yeah. I don't know why, I just did.
Why did you change your shirt?
You changed your shirt, too.
I might have.
But I picked Stone Cold Steve Austin, and the question I would answer him, or ask him, was what?
What? I do still like that answer. So if I'm going to change my answer, actually. I think last time I said Ric Flair. But I'm going to change it up, and I am going to meet Sting. Because he's still around. He knows a lot of cool stories. And my one question that I would ask Sting, that's a good one. What did he really enjoy more, his time in WCW or his time in TNA? Because I think Sting really did enjoy his time in TNA because he was doing some wacky stuff there. They let him just go balls to the walls.
Do you know what I'd ask Sting?
What?
How come he's the only guy that can make a soul patch look cool?
That's a great question. Do you know what Sting's shoot name is?
I do. I just had it. It just popped right on my head. It's Steve Borden.
Yep, correct it is. There was a really bad, I want to say it was on TNT, it had to be TNT because it was Turner Networks. Back when WCW was big, he did a made-for-TV movie on the TNT network where he played like a retired cop, and it was really, really bad. And I wish I could think of the name right now so you could all look it up, but go on IMDb and look up Sting. I'm sure it's on there. It's a really bad movie, but it's fun to watch.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. I was a WCW guy, so I've seen a lot of this crappy stuff. But I would definitely ask, I would love to know if he enjoyed WCW or TNA more, because in TNA, he did a lot of, like, he did the Joker Sting, which was actually kind of fun in the Main Event Mafia. Lots of weird stuff.
I think he was allowed to have more fun in TNA than he was WCW.
I have for sure. And he was allowed to talk, actually. In WCW, there was a long period of time where he wasn't allowed to talk. All right, so we have to thank Super Kicking It with Kelsey. Make sure you check out her wonderful podcast. Where's that at, Diesel?
At Two-Faced Pod.
Yep.
I almost said the name of the show.
Well, you can say the name of the show now if you'd like.
It's Two-Faced Wrestling Show. No, Talk. Two-Faced Wrestling Talk.
There, now we got it. Make sure you check that out. Wonderful interview she does and all of her opinions. She's just a smart lady. And as the song told you, women taking over pro wrestling. Girl power.
Going to be joining us at All In.
And StarCast. It's going to be, I still can't believe that's happening. It still doesn't feel real to me that All In and StarCast are coming up, and we're going to be a part of it. But once again, we're going to thank Super Kicking It with Kelsey, who was at Super Kicking It, for that question. Time on to our next high flyer.
He's a good guy. Loves his wrestling. Loves anime. It's crazy about America, too. Did I mention he's a good guy? He still loves his wrestling. I think he still likes anime. I'm pretty sure he's still crazy about America, too. He's a good guy. Dave Pozefsky.
Yes. Once again, you topped yourself. Love it. As the song gave it away, it's a good guy, Dave Pozefsky, asking the question. And he is, of course, at Dave Pozefsky. The question I pulled for Dave is, the WWE loves to show that it's kid-friendly, women-friendly, supports everyone out there, and they really care about their public image. So how could creative had made a fat, shamey storyline with Nia Jax when bullying is such a huge problem?
Well, I mean, now that time has passed and seeing what they've done with Nia after this, it's even more perplexing that they did what they did. I wasn't a big fan of it in the first place. I mean, I get it. It was a good way to get heel heat on Alexa Bliss, but I mean, I don't know. Like the story was even off because they say that Nia was bigger all life, but then you see pictures. She was a plus size model, but she used to be smaller than she is now.
Yeah, she used to be a lot smaller. And yeah, with the way that Nia has now been booked, where she can't decide if she's a heel or a face or anything like that, that like it made more sense with when it looked like they were going to make her into like the be a star like can't or champion, you know, where all she was going to be like doesn't matter, you know, anything about it, you can take down a bully. But then with her now challenging Ronda Rousey and all of the stuff that's happened since, they've just switched her to being a heel again or something. I just don't get it.
I think that. The writers forgot that they had Nia challenge Ronda. You mentioned that on Raw because now the way they were going about that segment on Raw was more like they were acting like Ronda challenged Nia the whole time. She didn't even want to take the match. Charlotte made her take the match. I don't even know why Charlotte was there.
Exactly. They were on the red carpet. Yeah, the writers completely have, because during that segment on Raw this week, they literally were making it seem like Ronda had challenged Nia for this title, and that Ronda was trying to show Nia up. It was completely the opposite way around. Nia walked up to Ronda and was like, I want to face you. And Ronda went, nah. And then Charlotte popped in and was like, oh, no, she'll face you. Yeah. And that's how we got this match. It's
dumb.
It's all really dumb. It's just, I don't know. And, yeah, with the whole bullying angle, it would have made sense if we were going to keep Nia on the, you know, trajectory of being a huge face and, you know, a face of the company for the kids and everything like that, but
and maybe not have had her do that promo after her match Backlash, because that really ruined everything. I think
the be a star promo. Yeah, it was all well and good until she said be a star, and then it just became corporate shilling.
Yep,
and that's the problem. Like, because in today's landscape, when you do that kind of stuff, we're gonna see through it. We're gonna go, well, that was clearly written. Like, it all seemed genuine up until that moment when she said, "So be a star," and then it's like, come on, really? So this is written for you in the back? It's kind of bad. You should be able to think of something yourself and go with that.
Yeah, they should let them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, but we have to thank good guy Dave Pozefsky, who is at Dave Pozefsky, for that wonderful question. I would love to tell you when you debuted, Dave, but as I said, there's this missing chunk of time for when my questions are saved. But I know it was in there, and I know this is one of your earlier questions. All right, time along, though, to our next High Flyer.
Jerry. Hey, Arnold, defender of wrestling. Hey, Arnold, champion of the sun. Hey, Arnold, he's a master of karate and friendship with everyone. Hey, Arnold.
Was that a little bit of a normal song?
No, I wrote that.
No, and it's very good. I'm very impressed.
I just stole the tune.
I'm very impressed then. You are a clever, clever man. That's once again my new favorite song right there. Of course, referencing Always Sunny, you're gonna win me over with that one. But as he said, it's time for Jerry, hey Arnold, to ask his question. And he's of course at Santa Jesus Guy. And this is actually the first question that Jerry asked us, because he had DM'd it to me so I could look back in there and I found that out. First question ever asked by Jerry Hey Arnold was, who would be your WWE Avengers?
Well, number one, you don't ever pause. Let me go, whoo, whoo, whoo.
I'm sorry, dude. I will try. And
No, it's ruined. I just wanted to get a hoo, hoo, hoo in there, right? But, see, now I am well-versed in the Avengers, but before I was not. I'm not all the way through, but I'm through. What was the last one I just watched? Guardians 2? Yeah, Guardians 2.
So yeah, now you're much more able to answer this question. I do believe last time you bowed out and said, I don't really know.
Yep, I did bow out.
All right, well, so, let's get a real answer from Diesel then.
So, let's go. Well, Iron Man. It doesn't have to be today, does it?
No, you can do whatever you want.
Let me go.
We always break the rules. I mean, we make our own rules. So, yeah, do whatever you want.
I'm going to go Shane McMahon.
Ooh.
I'm going to go because, like, Vince McMahon's kind of like Tony Stark's dad. And he had the money, and he, like, created everything, and I mean, I could go Stephanie McMahon, but she's a woman, so I had to go Shane. And so he's basically Tony Stark, kind of.
A little bit, yeah, I can see it.
Let's go Captain America. John Cena.
Do-do-do-do.
He's Captain America. Thor. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyways. Nope, I'm going to go Braun Strowman.
Thunder.
Just because he's big. But, I mean, I was going to go Roman Reigns because he has more of the build of Thor. But yeah. I don't want to go Roman Reigns. I just don't want to go. No, I can't do that because I got to go. He has to be the Hulk.
Yeah, Braun Strowman should be the Hulk.
So, Braun Strowman's Hulk. So then I'm going to go Roman Reigns, Thor, unfortunately. How far are we going into this?
I mean, you could do Hawkeye and Black Widow if you want.
Okay, Hawkeye is Finn Balor.
Ah, I like that.
Black Widow, Shayna Baszler.
Oh, I like it. All right. And, I mean, I think that's most of the main Avengers, if you want to stop there. Unless you have any more you want to do.
I mean, for Drax, I'm going to go Batista.
That's a good one. I never even thought about that. That would work so well.
Yeah, right?
I don't even know why.
So, I mean, that's as far as I'm going to go.
Okay. For my WWE Avengers, I pretty much agree with everything that Diesel said. Except for I would probably make my Black Widow. I'd actually probably go Asuka because I think Asuka is one of the deadliest women on the roster right now. So she's going to be my Black Widow and just taking people out left and right.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about Asuka too.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. But I do like your Shayna Baszler. It works on the same kind of level we're talking here. And then do I want to change any of your other ones? No, John Cena's a great Captain America. Tony Stark, Shane McMahon. I really like that. I never thought about that, so that's a really good answer. No, I'm gonna stick with your answers. Good job, Diesel. Now that you're versed in the Marvel Universe, you're a very smart man. So we have to thank Jerry Hey Arnold for that wonderful question. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter at Santa Jesus Guy.
Still love the Twitter handle.
Yeah, still a great one. He had an old Yu-Gi-Oh! One when he first started asking questions, and then one day he just changed it to Santa Jesus Guy.
This is better.
Way better. So great. Even though I do like Yu-Gi-Oh! Oh, throw
I never
it out there.
Watched Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yu-Gi-Oh! All right. We're going to move on to our next high flyer, and that is Beautiful Disaster, who is at Skylar's Mommy, BS2. And their question is, who do you think is going to win Money in the Bank this year?
Well, I'm not going to answer this question. I'm going to tell you to check out the Mad Attack podcast or check out the podcast we recorded earlier before we started recording part one of our Money in the Bank picks, which also you can find our NXT TakeOver picks and our Dominion review. So that's my answer. Not going to give it away. You're going to have to go and look at for yourself.
You get nothing for free anymore.
I'm not going to allow Chad to answer either. Moving on.
I wasn't going to answer. I was just going to once again plug the Visionaries Wrestling Network.
All right, well, I'll allow you to do that.
Oh, thank you. So, yes, make sure you check out if you want to hear who we do think is going to win Money in the Bank this year. Either the Mad Attack podcast, episode 4, Money in the Bank predictions, or you can check out our View from the Top Rope bonus level with New Japan Dominion review, NXT TakeOver Chicago picks, and Money in the Bank predictions.
Or preferably both.
But we will just thank Beautiful Disaster, who is at Skylar's Mommy VS2 for that question. And we'll move on to our next high flyer. Our next high flyer is Tessier Manu, and that is at Tessier Manu. Their question was, what are the first rumors and or news you've heard for the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2019?
Man, I really still haven't heard any, like, rumors. I mean, Batista was a big one for 2018. It didn't happen. Yeah. Undertaker was kind of a big one, too. But
did you hear Undertaker's wrestling another match for the WWE coming up soon at Madison Square Garden?
So, yeah, I don't think he's going to be in 2019. So, I mean, Batista's going to be eventually. So, I mean, I haven't heard anything. But, I mean, I really would like Batista to get his final run that he wants because – I mean, he was a really good wrestler. He was one of the guys in the promotion, top guy. And, I mean, you can't fault him for wanting to branch out and, like, try something else. I mean, he's getting older. He couldn't wrestle as much as he, like, and they did the same thing with The Rock, too, when he left for Hollywood. Like, we don't have any connection with The Rock. We don't care about The Rock anymore, even though secretly Vince McMahon was funding everything and WWE Studios was part of every movie The Rock did.
Yep.
But they wouldn't mention him on TV. They wouldn't promote his movies. But
nope. But they were paying for his movies behind the scenes. And now The Rock is the biggest star in the world.
Yeah, they waited until, he was highest paid actor in Hollywood. Then they're like, oh, yeah.
Remember that Rock guy? Yeah, he used to wrestle.
Seven-time champion, like youngest WWE champion of all time before Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. I mean, all these are true facts. So I haven't heard anything either, oddly enough. And usually this is when the rumor mill starts to run for class of 2019. Yeah,
you'll hear some, it'll be like popcorn, like pop, pop.
Exactly, like around SummerSlam is usually when we start hearing the beginning of the rumors. And we're getting close to SummerSlam. So maybe after Money in the Bank, we'll hear some more stuff. Really, the main guy I want to see get in is Eric Bischoff. I want to see Eric Bischoff in the WWE Hall of Fame, especially with them owning WCW. I mean, Eric Bischoff's just one of my favorites of all time. And I want to see him get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Sure is deserving.
He is definitely deserving. So here's a quick sidebar, though. If Eric Bischoff did go into the Hall of Fame, who would you have induct him?
Didn't you do the sidebar when we talked about this last time?
Probably.
I don't know. I want to say DDP because he inducted DDP. But, I mean, then you'll have another two-hour speech because both of them went really long.
Yeah, both of them do have a tendency to drag on a little bit.
But I know they're good friends. Definitely not Vince Russo.
Nope. Don't think that would go so well.
I mean, it would kind of be cool if Vince McMahon did it.
Ooh, see now that.
Because you know that they're friends now.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like bitter rivals before, but like.
I still think back to that first time when Vince called Eric Bischoff out to be the GM of Raw and they hugged
Nobody
on that stage.
Knew.
I was shocked as a kid. Like, I remember my jaw hit the floor. I was like, I can't believe, are they hugging right
that
now?
I didn't even have him in mind. Like,
nope.
I remember Raw started and because they didn't have a GM for a while. And Vince goes, tonight's the night. We're announcing who the GM is. We're going to do it later. And I'm like, I wonder who it could be. And I no idea. And like, the wrestlers didn't know. It was one of those situations where they kept him hidden, like the Shane McMahon thing.
Yeah.
And he came walking through the curtain.
I'm back.
And like everyone's like, whose music is this?
And
he came walking out.
Than ever.
And he had his black hair again all of a sudden. I'm like, hey, you don't have black hair.
You dyed that, you kung fu master, you Eric Bischoff.
And then I see, like, sometimes I hate when, like, WWE does, like, storylines from other promotions when a guy comes over, but I love that they shaved his head again.
Yep. No, Eric Bischoff getting his head shaved will always be a satisfying encounter.
So it was worth it the second time just as much as it was the first time,
it was.
In my opinion.
The expressions that Eric Bischoff makes while getting his head shaved in both of those encounters is some of the best just facial storytelling you will ever see. He goes from sad to angry to just emotionally destroyed.
Remember about a year ago, we watched Taboo Tuesday, the first one. And didn't he, or was it Coach? One of them had to wrestle in a dress.
Yeah, I think it was Coach, actually.
And Eric Bischoff had a match, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
And then he came out in his gi.
Yep.
And like,
that's why I called him a Kung Fu Master. Yes. Kung Fu Master Eric Bischoff.
I can't remember who Coach wrestled, but I remember he had to wrestle in a dress, and it was pretty funny, actually.
It was. So for who I would have induct Eric Bischoff into the Hall of Fame, I'm actually going with the man who's on your shirt right now, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right, because he fired him via FedEx.
Yeah, and honestly, their interactions together as the GM of Raw and the Sheriff of Raw are just some of the funniest things you'll ever see.
Yeah, that is some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
Stone Cold on his four-wheeler just pulling donuts.
To this day, you can't open Raw better than what they used to do when they flash Eric Bischoff's face. Boo! And Stone Cold's with flash cards.
Yay!
Oh, that was awesome. Every single week, I loved it.
Every single week. And they did that at live shows, obviously, because the crowd reacted. It was awesome. Yeah, so I would definitely have Stone Cold Steve Austin induct Eric Bischoff into the Hall of Fame. And he would be who I would like to headline the class of 2019. Would be a great one. All right, we have to thank Tessier Manu, who is at Tessier Manu, for that wonderful question. Thanks for being a high flyer, and hopefully you tune in to hear this. Time to move on to our next high flyer, though. And this is the good man, Burt Macklin, who is at Burt Macklin 11.
FBI.
What?
At Burt Macklin, FBI.
Oh, yeah.
Parks and Rec.
Yes, I got it now.
It's a great name.
I do. I just heard
that. That's one of my favorite gags from Parks and Rec is when Andy is Burt Macklin, and multiple times he is. My favorite one's the first time. It's the Halloween episode. And the lady asks, who do you work for? He goes,
who do you report to?
Yeah, he goes, the President of the United States of America. I loved it.
Parks and Rec.
And then she made him cry. That's one of my favorite episodes.
I love Parks and Rec.
Greg Pakaitis!
Okay, well, let's get back to the question, though, which is from Burt Macklin. And the question is, with all of the success of indie wrestling, do you think there will ever be a point in time when NXT is bigger than WWE's main product?
Isn't it already?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, talent-wise, I mean, the main roster has a lot of talent, but I mean, just the flux that they just got in, like, and the booking, it's better. So, and better, I mean, not money-wise, it's not bigger, but I think it's better, and I think that makes it bigger. I mean, not many people. It's kind of still a hidden gem, too, at the same time. It's like, I'd say probably maybe like 30% of the main roster audience watches NXT.
Yeah.
So the hardcore fans, so... I mean, people that don't watch it don't know what they're missing. Like, it is nuts. It's so good right now.
It really is. And my favorite thing about NXT is it draws in, what, the 30% of, you know, the main roster fans. But it also draws in a lot of people who don't watch WWE's main product at all, but they'll still watch NXT.
Yeah, that's what it's for, too. That's one thing Vince is smart about. You know, it's that I don't know anything about this independent stuff. I know how to do my way, so I'm going to let someone else do it because we want to bring the fans in still, so we got to give them what they want. But we're going to keep it hidden on the WWE network, though, so you have to actually pay to see it. But
yep, and they put it on Hulu, though, too.
You still got to pay for Hulu, and WWE's getting kicked back for that. But, I mean, it's a good business model at the same time. Vince knows what he's doing. He's a good – he's a smart businessman, even though he makes a lot of dumb business mistakes. But.
As CM Punk once said, Vince McMahon is the richest millionaire who should be a billionaire, even though he's a billionaire now. So it doesn't really.
I mean, he might not be for long. You never know. You mean he's been a billionaire multiple times.
Yep. No. And so for what Diesel's saying, yeah, you're kind of right in the fact that it's probably bigger in the eyes of us hardcore fans and everything like that. And for that way, it's bigger, but it'll never actually surpass the main product.
Like, I am way more excited for TakeOver Chicago this weekend than I have Money in the Bank.
Oh, I 100% agree with
that. I think that says something. WWE needs to step it up a little bit. I mean, they don't need to step it up a lot. I think that NXT should be better because it's for the hardcore fans. And then the main roster is more of an entertainment show.
Yep.
So, I mean, I get that. So, but I still think they need to step it up somewhat.
Oh, I completely agree that the main roster does need to step it up. And I think they will with this coming Fox deal and everything like that. I don't know why, but I just have this feeling that the main roster is finally going to get their crap together, if you will.
I really, really hope so.
I really, really hope so. They need to.
The first half of 2018 has not been good. So.
No. So they need to close out 2018 on a strong note. But yeah, NXT will never financially be bigger than the main product. But in the eyes of us hardcore fans and people who actually enjoy professional wrestling, it is already bigger.
It might be more important, too.
Yeah.
Think about it. That's where, I mean... It's where people learn the like how to be in the WWE, like cameras and just certain things that like before you come from a different promotion, they throw you right to the wolves and like some people didn't get over because they had no idea what they're doing. They didn't know how to move around in the ring with the hard cam and like the guy on the ramp, like following them down the ramp with the camera, like things would freak them out. I mean, I think NXT is more important.
It is. Like, I mean,
I think it would hurt the main roster if NXT went away for sure.
It would. I mean, if you look at the current, most of the current champions, and I guess some of the current champions, they were on NXT at one point.
Yeah, minus everybody, minus AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar, I'm pretty sure.
I think so. Yeah.
And Jeff Hardy.
Oh, man, Jeff Hardy. Yeah. Jeff Hardy.
Don't even remember he's U.S. champ.
Yeah. I always forget he's U.S. champ because he's injured and shouldn't be U.S. champ.
Why? Matt Hardy as well.
Oh, I forgot Matt Hardy. I forgot he was tag team champion. See? Why are they ruining the tag team division?
Why are they ruining the Hardys?
Yeah, I completely forgot. Both Hardy boys hold gold right now, and I didn't think about either of them.
No.
So we have to thank Burt Macklin for that wonderful question. Make sure you give them a follow at BurtMacklin11. But it's time on to our next high flyer. And this was the Pro Wrestling Journal, a.k.a. Kayfabe Today. And their question was... Without mentioning heel turn, what is the best remedy to fix Roman Reigns?
Just do nothing. Get him off TV. He needs to be someone else. He just can't be Roman Reigns anymore. Like, I mean, he can be Roman Reigns, can be his name. He can still be that, but his character just needs to be different. That's all it is. I mean, he doesn't even necessarily need to turn heel. I've thought about it a little bit. If you keep him off TV long enough and he changes his character enough, he could come back in his face. If you have to do it right, you have to put him in the right feud. But, like, a popular saying on this show is absence makes the heart grow fonder. So, I mean, people are going to be happy to see Roman Reigns. If you kept him off TV for, like, 6 months, 9 months, like, when he came back and if he came back in, like, a big feud or – challenge like a huge someone that was like running rampant and like no one could stop him. Here comes the big dog.
Well, big dog.
Not the big dog, but like, I don't know, like, he just needs to be off TV, and just people need to forget that he existed for a little while. It's kind of like Dean Ambrose, but I don't know if that's going to work for Dean Ambrose if he comes back the same.
We will see. My answer, not to steal a line from one of his former Shield brethren, but it's burn it down. You just need to get rid of this all. Literally start fresh, as Diesel's saying. You just need to get him off TV and burn it down. Burn this character, forget everything that you've done so far, and start again. I mean, just tweak the character a little bit, but he needs to be off TV for like 6 to 9 months. It's just the way it is. That's how you fix it. I mean, without if him, he's going to be on TV like every week to every other week, it's never going to get fixed.
I mean, and you can still have him wrestle house shows, but I mean, he's still going to get booed. Maybe not, because like you go 3 months and you haven't seen him on TV and he's at the house show. It's like, oh, Roman Reigns, where's he been? You know? Yeah. So, and then that's where he can develop his new character, try out some new things in front of some different crowds and see what works, you know? So, I mean, maybe that's what they should really do.
Yeah, just burn it down, start again. All right, we have to thank the Pro Wrestling Journal, who was at Kayfabe today, for that question. But it's time on to our next tie flyer. And our next tie flyer is Syrian James, who was at the Syrian James. And I just wanted to ask this question because, once again, the Dominion thing, so I'm throwing it back. Another quick callback for us. But the question is, do you think we will ever see Omega grace a WWE ring?
I'm more confident now than I have ever been. I don't know why. I mean, like, it has to do a lot with the way things went down after the match, with, like, Young Bucks coming down and the tears. They were real. They were definitely real. They're happy for their friend. I mean, like, Kenny Omega has worked so hard to get to this point, and they know that. Like, they've been there with them every single step of the way. Even Kota Ibushi has been, for the most part. But, I mean, some just tells me that he can't go any farther in New Japan. There's only one place left he really hasn't conquered, and that's the WWE. And I think even though he may say that doesn't appeal to him, I think it does appeal to him. Like, it's going to eventually, like, he's going to get bored. I mean, he can hop around all the different independent promotions, but I think eventually it's always going to be like, well, I never had the WWE title. And maybe even if it's like towards the end of his career, like I said in Pro Wrestling History 101 with Mad Dog Vachon, like maybe something like that. It could happen. I mean, like, people always said AJ Styles, it's never going to happen. Samoa Joe, it's never going to happen. The Hardy Boys are never going to come back. Goldberg's never going to come back. Well, guess what? All those things happened.
Yep.
And Goldberg won another championship. Look at the Hardy Boys. They're both holding gold. They won the tag team champions the first night back. And AJ Styles, two-time WWE champion.
Current WWE champion.
Samoa Joe, two-time NXT champion, and definitely future WWE champion. Like, so you can never say never. Like, especially in professional wrestling, you can never say never.
You really can. So for my answer to this, yes, we will. Because Kenny Omega wants to change the world. Well, he's already started. He is changing New Japan. He has helped increase their popularity leaps and bounds. I mean, him and the Young Bucks and Cody are doing All In. And, you know, the next step really is to come to WWE and change this world. And if one person on the planet could do it, I think it is Kenny Omega. The dude just has it. He gets it. He is a pro wrestler. That's what he is. And if he wants to truly change the world, I think it does end with his path coming to WWE.
I got a sidebar.
Sure.
Because I actually believe that all six of the main men in the Elite right now are all going to end up in the WWE someday. Maybe not at the same time, but someday. But my question is to you, I don't know if you think that as well, but if you do, who's going to be the first one to go?
So we're clearly talking about Kenny Omega, The Bucks, Marty, Cody, and Adam Page, right?
Yes.
That's who we're talking about. Yes. Of those six, it's not going to be Cody because Cody's already been there. I think Cody will be the last one to go back because
I'd agree with you that I don't think it'll be Cody first, but I don't think he'll be the last one.
Okay, fair enough. I actually think the first one that will come to the WWE might be Adam Page.
I was thinking the same exact thing. I mean, I don't know, it just feels like he is more like Adam Cole in that way where I think he sees the bright lights and, like, Adam Cole did an interview with Stone Cold on his podcast about before, when he was still in Ring of Honor, before he signed with NXT, that He said he knew that someday he was going to be in the WWE because that was always his goal. He grew up a WWE fan, and like he knew that he was going to be in the WWE. And I feel the same way about Adam Page.
Yeah, no, I think that Adam Page will be the first one to come over. He's a young kid. He has the look of a superstar that both Triple H and Vince love. He's a little taller. So, I mean, I could see him thriving. And
honestly, if we're going last, I think it's going to be the Bucks.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be the Bucks. They're going to, I think Cody might be second to last. I think Kenny might come in first. And they might try to, like, build off of their independent feud.
Yeah.
And then the Bucks are going to come in and save the day with Cody. Maybe Cody will get some of his old WWE pals together. We'll have a pretty sweet feud. Who knows? But, I don't know. I think that Marty's probably the second one to come.
I was going to say, Marty's either the second one to come or he will be my second last to come. I think either Marty's going to come right away or he's going to hold out. So I almost went with Marty as my first one to come over to the WWE.
I really do think they're all going to come, though.
I do think they will all eventually grace a WWE ring.
And I know some people won't be happy hearing that, but it's going to happen. I'm sorry.
Just got to deal with the facts, folks. All right. We have to thank Sirian James, who is at the Sirian James, for that wonderful question. Make sure you're checking out all of his wonderful articles on Kayfabe today. Of course, I actually meant Pro Wrestling Journal. It's their at is Kayfabe today, but you can actually check the articles out at Kayfabe today, Pro Wrestling Journal. That was still terrible.
ProWrestlingJournal.com. That's where you can find them.
See, that's why I let Diesel do these things. Time to move on to our next side flyer, though. And this is another Pro Wrestling Journal contributor. And this is Nick Whitworth, who is at PW Pit Stop Nick. And the question I grabbed from Nick is, do you think the WWE will overexpose Ronda Rousey and have her character watered down?
Oh, so far they haven't really overexposed her. And they haven't really done anything for her character to be watered down, but it's starting to get boring.
Yep, they need to do something.
Like, but maybe this will open the floodgates. This one match will break the dam, and maybe she'll start having more matches. It won't be like once every couple months at the big five. Like, I really hope not. And I really hope that Ric Flair is wrong and that she only signed a one-year contract. If you didn't hear, I can't remember who did the interview, but he did it. Some guy did an interview with Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan, and Ric Flair brought up the fact that Ronda Rousey only signed a one-year deal. And I really hope that's not the case.
I'll tell you, if that's the case, that sucks.
I'd be upset and be like, well, why did you even sign at all?
Yeah.
I mean, because the reports were it was multi-year.
Yeah, and I mean, she can always re-sign, of course, but still, I would be very sad if it was only a one-year deal.
Flair said it was because she wants to have a family, which it's commendable. I understand that. But, I mean, being selfish as a wrestling fan, I wanted to see a lot out of Ronda Rousey and just let her be a wrestler. Don't make her a celebrity. Just let her be a wrestler.
Yeah, I want to see Ronda Rousey in the ring more often. So to answer the question, I don't think they'll overexpose her, but they need to actually expose her more often. Like, she needs to wrestle on Raw.
It's more of a case of underexposure, really.
Exactly, yeah. Because I think the crowd, yeah, we all know her name and everything, and she had that great mixed tag match at WrestleMania, but she should be wrestling more. She should have had a match on Raw already. It didn't have to be right after WrestleMania, but she should have had a match on Raw by now. And now she's going into her first ever singles match at a pay-per-view for the title. And I'm not excited. I should be more excited. So I think it's actually a case of underexposure, as Diesel just said. But we have to thank Nick Whitworth, who is at PW Pit Stop Nick. What's his article about?
It's Rant of the Day. And that's at ProWrestlingJournal.com. It's where you can find it. And he actually released one this week. And four topics. Agreed 100% with everything he says, which I do a lot. Sometimes I don't, but this one, spot on. And his last topic was about Chris Jericho, and I absolutely loved it. And I actually urge you, Chad, to read it because you're going to love it too. Like, everything he says, 100% fact, like, true. And that's where I got my idea about Jericho bringing in the IWGP Intercontinental title for...
To smooth everything over.
Yes. Huh. I got it from him. I'll give him the credit.
I like
it. But I didn't even think about that until I read that. And I really like that idea, and I really hope it does happen.
I will check out the article for sure, but make sure everyone else is checking out the article at ProWrestlingJournal.com. But it's time to move on to our final High Flyers question of this Mystery Brain Buster for episode 50. And the final question is from our most recent new ad as a High Flyer, and it's, of course, Kevin Byrne, who is at Morrison's Prof. And the question was, boxers, briefs, or boxer briefs?
Well, what did JR say he was going to say? And then he decided, oh, he's going to say panties.
Yep.
I wish he would have. That would have been great. I wouldn't have saw it coming.
I would have laughed really hard.
And, I mean, I should have seen something like that coming out of him, but I wouldn't have. I don't know why. But I'm not going with that answer. I'll go with my real answer. I won't even joke around. Boxers.
Yeah. I'm a boxers or a boxer briefs, guys. I just don't wear regular briefs because that's just weird.
And if I was a wrestler, I would not wear, like, the brief trunks either. Like,
they seem too much just like a Speedo underwear. I mean, can't get behind it.
Before I ever saw Kevin Owens or Kevin Steen wrestle, I mean, that was like what I always imagined my ring gear would be like, just a pair of shorts, cut off sleeve t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like, really, that was it. I didn't really think about the kick pads. I had more of like wrestling boots, but to each his own.
Yeah, I definitely always, that when I created wrestlers on the old games, I always had the Kevin Owens look or even the Hardy Boys look, because they used to wrestle in long, they still wrestle in pants, but they'd always wrestle in pants and like long shirts. So that's what I always thought I would wrestle as. But yeah, not the briefs, if you will, for the wrestling trunks. A little too showy, if you will.
And a little too like tight. You might get a baby carrot chant, yeah, like via ICW Milwaukee with the Marman.
Way to throw that back. I like it, Diesel.
I mean, that's one of my favorite chants. It's funny because it's kind of true.
Yeah. It's really
I'm not trying to throw any shade on the Marman, because I do like the Marman, but I mean, let's get honest.
let's call it as we see it. All right. Well, we have to thank Kevin Byrne, who is at Morrison's Prof, for that wonderful question. Welcome to the High Flyers. We're glad to have you, and we hope you're still listening now. All right. But as I said, that was the final question of the Mystery Brainbuster of the Week for episode 50, which, of course, is a very special episode to me. I went back. I looked at the first questions. I just grabbed questions from you. So I really hope you enjoyed hearing us answer your questions again. And if you want to send in questions for episode 51, you can, of course, hit me up at View From Top Rope. You can hit up Diesel
at Diesel _ VFTR. It threw me off because you usually say the at.
I know. Sorry. You can also hit up JR, who is still not here, but he is at Jur the Jobber. Or you can use the wonderful hashtag VFTRFQ. But it's time to move along. Do you have anything else for the Mystery Brain Buster?
Yeah, we got to close this out.
Oh, yep. I almost forgot.
The best song that there is.
All right. Hit us up.
One of the best factions ever created. And, of course, that's the Tollygons faction. So, without further ado.
Adieu.
This song is the creme de la creme of all the songs that I wrote. It's my absolute favorite. That's why I saved it for last. I'm a strong believer in save the best for last. So, here we go. Tollygons is a mystery. Look over there, it's Megs and Bags climbing a tree. There's Kelsey sailing in the sea. Dun dun. RJ's making castles in the sand. Tolly Parton is just trying to figure out who I am. I'm singing about the best faction in the land. Tollygons. Tollygons. And repeat.
All right. You win. That was the best one. You did save the best for last. I did not see you using Evolution's theme song at all.
But it makes sense.
It worked out really well.
I don't even know how I came up with it. It just happened. Literally, the first thing I came up with, Megs and Bags climbing a tree. And then
it just spiraled from there.
I like how they're all doing something different.
Yeah. I like the sand castles in the sand.
I guess they're in a beach. I didn't think about that.
It sounds like they are at the beach. Why are they at the beach? You just don't know.
This is the best faction in the land.
Yeah, because they hang out at beaches. All right. Well, that was all of the wonderful theme songs that Diesel was requested to write from the Mystery Brainbuster of the Week. So we hope you enjoyed them. Maybe if you really work hard, maybe get a few golden questions. Maybe some of you other high flyers can get one from Diesel. You just don't know. I don't write them, so.
Yeah, well, let me know which ones you like the best. But like I said a few weeks ago, that this is it. No more free ones, okay? You're going to have to pay me the green. So, and by green, I mean I'll accept giant jar of pickles, like the ones from our Punishment Day 1. If you haven't checked it out, go on YouTube. I'll also accept 500 sugar snap peas or 10 jars of jalapeno stuffed green olives.
Hey, that's a pretty good deal.
That's the only payment I'll accept. The cash is not good here.
Your money means nothing here.
I only take the green.
All right. Well, it is time to move along into our final segment of episode 50. And this is another special segment that I thought of doing. And what I did, I don't even know what to call. We're going to call it Then, Now,
Forever.
I was going to think of something else clever, but yeah, sure. We'll just steal the whole WWE. We'll steal the whole WWE thing. So this segment's called...
No, I got it. Better. Then, Now, Whatever.
There you go. Then, Now, Whatever. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look back at...
So that's why I'm the head of creative.
Yeah, see? So we're going to take a look back at some rumors that were happening in the June and July of 2017 when we were starting this podcast. Also, we're going to drop a little knowledge on you. We're going to go back and look at all of the current champions or who were champions at the time we started this podcast for 7 different promotions and who are their current champions now. Basically, just giving us an excuse to talk about all of our favorite promotions for a hot minute, just to say how we think they've done over the past year, basically.
Yeah, just to see what's happened over the course of this podcast.
Exactly. All right, so let's just roll right into some rumors that were happening back then. The first thing that I grabbed off the rumor mill, and I thought it's funny, because you're going to notice something about this. Some of these rumors that were happening when the podcast started are still happening today, and it's kind of funny to me.
Is one of them Bayley Sasha Banks?
You will just have to wait and find out. The first rumor is, though, Hogan is going to be returning to the WWE in the coming months.
This rumor has been going on for about like 2 years now, because originally it was WrestleMania 33. Brick Hogan came on and said he was going to be there. Mm-hmm. He still hasn't stepped foot in the WWE.
No, and I mean, he did that interview, though, with Ric Flair, as we were just talking about.
The guy who interviewed, I wish I could remember who it was. I feel bad about it. But
we'll give you a shout out on Twitter afterwards. We'll figure it out.
But, yeah, he asked him, are you going to be in the WWE anytime soon? And he said it's getting real close. So, I mean, not that I really care, but...
I really don't care either.
A piece of me does, just because he is wrestling, but kind of, for a generation, he's wrestling.
He is definitely one generation's wrestling.
And I do like that fact. I mean, I don't like that he's excommunicated from the WWE, really, but I also don't really care if he's on there. So.
Yeah. Exactly. That's kind of how I feel. I just thought it's funny that literally a year ago at this time, pretty much, the rumor was already going or still going around that Hogan is returning soon. So, next rumor I grabbed, which is just funny because the other thing that you're going to notice with rumors is don't listen to them because rumors mean exactly that. There are rumors and most of them are unfounded and dumb. This rumor was Daniel Bryan to undergo more testing, but is never expected to wrestle for the WWE again.
Well, I mean, I think at the time that's what they really did think.
I know.
But yeah, that's a good case of the never say never, like we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Like that should have been one of my examples. Like Daniel Bryan never going to wrestle in WWE again.
And now he's a full time wrestling each and every week and the house show circuit. Like all he does is wrestle for them.
I still can't believe that.
Yeah, I know. It's shocking.
It's probably because of this rumor alone.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because I bought into all this. But I mean, there was good reason to buy into it because
it seemed like the facts.
I still am a firm believer the only reason he is wrestling is because they're afraid they're going to lose him.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that even with their back against the wall, I didn't think they're still going to let him do it. I thought they're just going to let him go. I'm like, you can wrestle, but not in our watch. We're not going to let you do it. But they want to keep him that bad. And, oh, man, it still might not happen.
And it's also the rumor. There's a rumor going around right now that he hasn't signed a new contract yet. So he could still be leaving the WWE.
And the rumor is also says that that's the reason he's going up against Big Cass, because they don't want to give him a big push because he might not stay. So they're holding off on his push. So I hope that part's true about the holding off on the push. But I'd be more comfortable knowing whether he's gonna sign or not sign. Because I just want to know where he's gonna be. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of want him to stay in the WWE just because we're not the hugest fans of Daniel Bryan, but I do like the guy a lot, and I love the crowd reactions that he gets. Like that's my favorite thing about Daniel Bryan is how I don't understand why everyone loves him so much, but at the same time. Like, I've never actually got to see Daniel Bryan in person, but I'd be right there with everybody just screaming, yes, yes, yes. And I just love that you have the opportunity to be a part of that. And I mean, it'll still be a big deal on the indies, but I mean, WWE is the global stage. Like, it's everywhere. So I'd miss him if he left the WWE, but I'd be very happy if he went to the Indies. So this is bittersweet kind of thing.
Yeah. You basically explained every side of that point and didn't actually give an answer for anything because you just said each and every point there could be.
I don't know what I want on this one.
I understand that. I got it. I gathered. I probably like Bryan Danielson more than I like Daniel Bryan. So, I mean, I don't really care if he stays with the WWE or goes back to the Indies. I just enjoy watching him wrestle.
I think he's turning into Bryan Danielson as Bryan or Daniel Bryan because he's more of a grappler, Zack Sabre Jr., lately, since he's come back, then
he used the heel hook to win.
He was always like a submission specialist, but he also would do the flying headbutt, and he'd do like more high risk maneuvers, and he totally had to take all that out of his arsenal because of his head and neck injury. So I think he's gonna be, if he stays with the WWE, he's gonna be look more like Bryan Danielson than the former Daniel Bryan.
I could see that. Rumor. All right, time to move on to our next rumor. And this one is kind of funny because we just watched 205 Live together. And it is Hideo Itami is going to be leaving the WWE within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm glad that he didn't.
I'm very glad that he didn't. I mean, he's still not, you know, tearing anything up right now, but I'm glad he's still in the WWE.
But this was very believable at the time, though, because like he wasn't being used on NXT. You could tell that he was frustrated. And, like, they know that he's a big deal, so they put him in takeover matches. They put him up against Austin Aries, and they put him up against Cassius Ohno, and then he was disappeared until he came on 205 Live.
Yep.
So, I don't know. So it was definitely a believable rumor at the time, and I bought it.
Definitely bought it. Yep. All right. Rumors. Next rumor is Billy Corgan's deal to buy the NWA is going through. And this was, okay, so going back on what I said before, this is actually a true rumor because Billy Corgan does own the NWA right now.
But at the same time, when this happened, it's like, really, do we care? I mean, or really, is it going to happen? Because the same
thing we said about TNA. This is one of the rumors that I didn't believe that actually came through.
But the thing with TNA was he was in charge. Like, I don't really understand what happened with all that stuff. I know that it cost Dixie Carter her job. It was a good thing for TNA. I don't think Billy Corbin was going to take it into the echelons where they need to go. I think they picked the right guy with Don Callis.
I 100% agree they picked the right guy.
And I think back to this. I think this might have been the very first episode of Killian Town that I ever listened to. And it was right when Impact basically started over. Jeff Jarrett came back. They got Bruce Pritchard. And they got Dutch Mantel. I remember...
each and every week. And I know what you're talking about.
And then they would talk. Lance Storm and Don Callis, Cyrus, would talk about, they'd watch Impact, and then they'd review it. And then Don Callis, every week, he'd be like, I have all these ideas. But you think I'm going to say them on here and give someone else my paycheck? No. So and he'd even say, if you want to hire me, I got a lot of great ideas. Yep. So, I mean, I'm right here waiting if you want me. And
week in, week out, he did. He said it every single week.
Because Scott D'Amore had his foot in the door. He was already one of the top executives in the company, and he's really good friends with Don Callis. So I think some might have been in the works already when he started talking about that.
Yeah, it was a perfect storm for sure. But yeah, and the only big thing that really with Billy Corgan buying the NWA is we're at All In. We're going to see the NWA championship defended.
Yeah, that's something that I never thought I'd see in person, to be honest with you.
I never thought I would see an NWA championship match.
And I really, really, really hope Cody wins it. I mean, not just because I'm not that big a fan of Nick Aldis. I mean, that's not really fair to say. I've only seen a handful of matches.
Yeah.
But
just kind of boring.
More, I want Cody to win it more for the fact that it's the NWA championship. Dusty Rhodes, one of the most famous NWA champions. I mean... people are going to be crying if Cody Rhodes wins that.
Yeah.
It's going to be nuts.
It's going to be great.
And then have him face Kenny Omega and title for title, IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, and just literally put all the titles on one
person. But obviously it's going to be a no decision if they do that. But I still want it. I'd still want that.
That'd still be fun. All right. Rumors. I kind of like doing that, so I'm going to keep doing it. All right. Next one is Io Shirai's WWE debut is pushed back due to a neck injury.
100% true.
100% true.
Didn't sign her because of it.
He didn't.
And I got an argument about this with some guy on Twitter back about probably like 6 months ago. And I just basically told him to chill out. And then like, didn't sign her because she was injured.
Yeah.
And he was also complaining about, I never talked to this guy again, so I don't even know how, I don't know. But he's also talking about Carrie Sane, how that he hated that she won the Mae Young Classic and then she was doing nothing. And that very week on NXT, she got involved in the Shayna Baszler Ember Moon feud. And ever since then, Kairi Sane's been frequently showcased on NXT.
Oh, yeah.
And has a pretty good feud going right now with
Lacey Evans.
And I don't like her, but she's growing on me a little bit. I really liked that they changed her music. That makes me like her a little more because her music was awful before.
And I like her finisher, A Women's Right.
I love the name of her finisher. Yeah. See, that's the thing that makes her start growing on me is like little things. So
A Woman's Right is the, it's just so, such a perfect play on words. It's just great. I can't, like, the first time I heard him say it, I was like, all right, you got me.
And I admit that I'm being worked on this one for sure with her because, I mean, she could be a really, really nice person, but she plays a really good word that we can't say on this show.
She does play a very good word we can't say on this show. All right. But there are rumors, once again, that Io Shirai has been signed for the second Mae Young Classic. But maybe we'll talk about that later. So, rumors. Kevin Kelly leaves Ring of Honor to focus on New Japan Pro Wrestling. Once again, another true rumor. So I guess I'm kind of screwing myself. My earlier point where you shouldn't believe rumors, I've just done three in a row that are true.
Yes, and before this, he took a step back from Ring of Honor and just started doing, like, the pay-per-views and stuff like that.
And an occasional, like, TV taping, because there was still a few, somebody, yeah.
Or, like, if TV tapings after the pay-per-view.
Yep.
But I want to go back to a rumor even before this, when he took a step back. There was a rumor at the time that Michael Cole was going to be stepping down as lead announcer of Monday Night Raw just to focus on more of running the commentary stuff backstage. He's already the head. I mean,
yeah.
Sure, it's makes it harder having to be out there and
also trying to do all
at the time. I was really, really hoping that Michael Cole would step down and they bring Kevin Kelly back into the WWE and he take over for Michael Cole. I thought that would have been really cool.
I do remember us talking about that. Yeah, that would have been great, but
I do love him on New Japan.
I was about to say, then we wouldn't have Kevin Kelly and Don Callis on New Japan, and they are the greatest current commentary team going, I think.
As a team, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't be my top two individuals. I mean, Don Callis is obviously, but obviously my other one. If I had to put Dream Team together, it would be Don Callis, Mauro Ranallo.
Yeah, we've talked about that as well. That if we could get a Mauro Ranallo and a Don Callis match where they're calling the same match together, like a Kenny Omega versus Daniel Bryan or something like that. Like, I mean, the 7-star commentary would be a 14-star commentary. It would be beyond amazing. Like, I would have troubles probably watching the match because I'd want to be paying attention to the commentary. But then again, they're so good at their job that I would still be watching the match because they know how to get themselves over, but more so get the guys in the ring over.
They've never worked together, but I just have a feeling that they already have chemistry. I don't know why. I just feel like they'd be able to play off each other so well.
They would. They're both a little high-strung about things. I think they would have just beautiful music together.
I think it would work better than Kevin Kelly and Don Callis, to be honest.
Oh, it would definitely, because I do think that Mauro is better than Kevin Kelly. So I guess, you know, if you're putting two better pieces together, it probably would be better.
I mean, sometimes that doesn't work, though.
It's true. Not everybody blends. All right, time to move on, though. Rumors. The first Mae Young Classic competitors were all released when we first started doing this podcast. And for a fun thing, rumors again, is that the Mae Young Classic 2 is coming up, as I said, and Io Shirai is rumored to have been signed.
Yep. Rumored. But we know who has been signed.
Yes, we do.
Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah, which is awesome. I love me some Deonna Purrazzo.
I agree. She was in NXT for a little while, but I don't think she had like a contract. It was more of a...
DIY did it for a long time, Johnny and Ciampa.
Yeah, but back when that was the only way you could still work Evolve and NXT at the same time. Now, it doesn't matter. I love that WWE has these relationships with these independent promotions now, and they do these cross-promotion things. I just want it to get bigger, and it probably will get bigger. It has to. Like, this is just the stepping stone to what's about to come.
Yep, I completely agree. All right, time to move on, though. Rumors. Next, I'm only going to do two more rumors, and then we're going to move on to the previous champions. So, second to last one. Unclear if the broken gimmick will ever, ever be allowed to be used in the WWE.
Well, the broken gimmick never has been.
I know, that's what the joke I was going to make. So, this was a true rumor. But
technically a true rumor.
But we do have the Woken universe, which is basically the same thing.
But worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it started off so good. Like, the when they first did it, I was laughing every single week. And then, like, by, like, week three, it's like, we're still doing this? And then by, like, week six, I'm like, stop.
All they did is laugh at each other for, like, 3 weeks straight in there where that's the only thing that happened.
And then by week six, I'm like, man, I just hope they put them as a tag team. Then we'll start getting rolling. Then, oh, man. And what's happened since they've been a tag team? They've been on TV, but not on Hulu.
They have not been good enough to be on the Hulu version of Raw.
I don't even think they've defended their belts one time. I could be wrong, because I haven't seen them wrestle one time since the Greatest Royal Rumble, and that's a fact. I have not, because Hulu...
Aren't they supposed to be defending their belts on Money in the Bank? Oh.
No, we did the picks.
I know we did, but I just thought about that. I feel like that should be, I guess.
They're basically Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, they don't even
have to. Tag team Brock Lesnar.
Tag team Brock Lesnar.
It's because they got red belts. That's what it is.
The red belt curse.
Yeah, you can't defend red belts anymore, I guess.
That's the rules. It's just how it is. All right. So time to move on, though, to our final rumors. And this one I had to put on here because it makes me chuckle because of where we are in the current WWE landscape. Increased talks that Brock will drop the Universal title to Roman Reigns at SummerSlam.
Oh, man. I wish... I don't even know what to say.
It's insane.
I'm speechless. I am so sick of Brock Lesnar. I used to like the guy, and I don't hate him, but, like, I'm just so sick of it. And it's not even really his fault. He shouldn't have the title. I'm fine with him doing what he does and showing up, like... occasionally, but he shouldn't have the belt.
He really just shouldn't have the belt.
I don't understand. Vince knows that he shouldn't have the belt. That's why he put the rule in that you got to defend every 30 days. But I guess for Brock Lesnar, it's every 6 months.
Yeah, you don't have to defend the belt ever if you're Brock
Lesnar. I was thinking about this earlier today. Okay, like in like boxing or UFC, when your champion gets hurt, they have an interim champion. And then when your champion is healed up, they fight for the title. Why can't we do that now?
That would make so much sense.
It would make a lot of sense since he's already UFC star. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand why we can't do something like that.
Have an interim belt on Raw.
It wouldn't be like the first time they did it. They did it when CM Punk left. They gave the John Cena.
They gave it to Rey Mysterio first for a hot minute.
As I say, and he beat John Cena beat him later that night.
Yeah.
Which was ridiculous.
That was some bad booking back in the day.
But, I mean, they've done it before. WrestleMania 10, Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon, two Intercontinental Champions. Like, I don't understand. Like, and this is this is the perfect storm for it because he's from the UFC and they can just explain it that way. He gets special treatment because he's UFC star, blah, blah, blah. It can even be even more better for his heel stuff. Like,
actually, the best way you could do it that would make the most sense is Paul Heyman would come out and go, Brock Lesnar has beat everyone. So I'm not going to defend this belt again. Unless you can prove that you're better than everyone else who's already here. So I will only defend my belt against an interim champion. So it's kind of like a secondary title where you have to win this title to get a shot at the actual title. So that could do it that way, and that would make sense and be a lot of fun. And Paul Heyman could, of course, spin it so it would make sense.
Yeah, but having him, I hate it.
I hate it too.
I hated it the first time. We had this discussion earlier in the week where – that it's sad to say that Brock Lesnar's last WWE title run was better than his current Universal title run. That was god-awful.
Yeah, by a mile.
I don't even have words to describe this Universal title run.
No, it's garbage.
But besides saying it's the worst title run in the history of the WWE, like big title run, it's the worst. I don't care. Like Chad always says, fight me.
Yeah,
and come at him. Tell me what one is worse.
And if you say gender, you get slapped in the face.
Or say Vince McMahon. At least he had the sense to drop it the next night on SmackDown.
Yep.
Like, come on. And his was better than when Eric Bischoff won it. Or Vince Russo. That was the worst one. Okay. There I found one. Vince Russo's worse.
David Arquette.
Nope. No.
Okay.
David Arquette killed WCW, but it's still not worse.
Okay.
Because I like Ready to Rumble that much.
It is a great movie. And the Triple Cage match was fun.
The only one that's worse than Brock Lesnar's title reign is Vince Russo.
Yeah, no, and the fact that he just beat CM Punk's reign or number of days reign in the modern era is absolute horse crap.
Does that make Paul Heyman the best manager of all time,
though? Yep. It really does. I think they haven't said it, but that'll definitely be in his like Hall of Fame like getting into speech when he goes in. Managing the two longest reigning champions in the modern day era. Because I bet Vince will actually induct Paul Heyman. Just throwing that out there. Completely off subject. All right. So that's going to wrap up the rumors section of then, now, whatever. Time to move on to our title pictures.
Hello, High Flyers. So, this is Chad. In recording this amazing, spectacular episode 50, Diesel and I didn't even realize how much content we actually created. So, in today, while editing part 2, I realized that I must split the podcast into a third part. So, guess what, High Flyers? Episode 50 is now a three-part spectacular. So, make sure you tune in tomorrow to hear the third and final part of episode 50. Nifty, nifty, it's episode 50. Make sure to always get up high and enjoy the view from the top rope.